Hi, I'm Loretta Miller, and I'd like to invite you to join me and my psychedelic sidekick, Dr. Gonzo, on a musical exploration here on, and this one's introduced by, on Community Radio Station 3CR.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gonzo, and this one's introduced by is a 60-minute program where we listen to tracks from an album introduced by the artist who made the album. Thanks for listening, and this one's introduced by... It's a pleasure to catch up with Loretta Miller, a truly talented and versatile singer whose musical roots run deep. Growing up surrounded by the sounds of her alt-country singer mother, Tracy Miller, and aunt, Lisa Miller, it was almost inevitable that Loretta would follow a musical path. Blessed with a remarkable voice, she was soon in demand, performing with a wide range of bands across genres. Loretta's first paid gigs were with the legendary Peter and Andy Baylor, where she explored rockabilly, country, blues, western swing, jazz, and soul. She then took the world stage with the internationally acclaimed retro soul outfit Clary Brown and the Bangin' Rackets, touring extensively and honing her dynamic stage presence. After that chapter closed, Loretta became the incendiary frontwoman of the brilliant Jazz Party, showcasing her powerhouse vocals and flair for genre-bending performance. Her enduring love of country music has now come full circle with the release of Loretta Miller, a 9-track album of original songs that blend pure country, Americana, 70s-tinged soul, and country rock. She's joined by a stellar band, Joel Lucas, Freya Hooper, Lewis King, and Shane Riley, creating a sound that's rich, warm, and unmistakably Loretta. Having absorbed great music from birth, Loretta Miller now brings together her influences, voice, and songwriting into a cohesive and compelling musical statement. Loretta Miller joins Dr. Gonzo to present her album, Loretta Miller, on, and this one's introduced by, on Community Radio 3CR.
Hi, this is Loretta Miller, and I'm just going to tell you a bit about myself today and my music. So my history as a singer and a performer and I guess a songwriter is very influenced by my upbringing. So I have a family of artists and musicians on kind of both sides. I grew up with my mother, Tracy Miller, who is a singer, songwriter, arranger, choir director, kind of all those things. And I think I obviously learned so much from her and by being exposed to her as a working musician from the moment I was born. But both my parents were music lovers, and my father is a super music lover and played. We listened to so many records as kids and things like Patsy Cline. I've been playing this Patsy Cline Greatest Hits record just today, actually, just dug it out. And that was, it's one of my earliest memories of a favorite record, even though it's a greatest hits thing, but we had it on cassette tape, I think. And I mean, I'm sure we would have had it on vinyl as well, but I remember listening to the tape in my bedroom, and I was like 3, I think, when I fell in love with that. So country music and then soul and jazz and, you know, hillbilly music and rock and roll. It was all there in my little head and in my house as a kid. And then, yeah, just witnessing a musician in my life. So that was a normalized thing. So I guess that's how I kind of felt like that would be a reasonable thing to do with your life. I don't know. And then maybe realized later that how hard it would be, but it was too late by that point. My auntie Lisa is a wonderful musician. She's an incredible singer-songwriter. She's very well known and loved, and I also got to watch her and learn a lot from her as well, and I toured with her for a bit. That was like my first time being in like a band that people were really like excited about, and you know, doing bigger venues and going to Sydney and going to Brisbane, and well, maybe didn't go to Brisbane, but we went, you know, played Spiegeltent and like went around the country, and yeah, so that was exciting and cool, and I learned a lot from that. And then from there I fell into a band called Clary Brown and the Bangin' Rackets. And that is it was at the time just about to take off. Like, I kind of got real lucky with that one. They had done the hard yards in terms of building the audience on the ground in Melbourne. And I joined as the band was starting to make a record, the debut record. And so I got to experience that, working with like a great producer, Stephen Tram, and like being in a proper studio and doing all that stuff. Then the band blew up and went nuts, and we ended up touring the world and doing the whole thing, being on the road in the States and multiple times. It's just gone on and on from there. I met all of my friends and my musical colleagues and family through that band, and I now write with those people and make music with them still. So it's been like really hard work and really fun and really heartbreaking at times, and like a long time coming for me to get my own record into place, if that makes sense. And also just like loving as much music as I do, and you know, being in all these different bands and different projects has made it hard for me to be able to carve out the time to do my own thing with my own name, because music is full time. Like, you're working your other jobs on the side to like pay the rent. But, you know, independently being in a band and running a band and making records and is really a lot of work. So warning to anybody out there thinking about doing it, it is an absolute grind. And I don't think I'm that good at it. Like, I'm barely keeping up, but I'm trying my best. Yeah. The title of my record is Loretta. I'm not sure. It sounds really lazy to call it your own name, and I agonized over it a great deal. And I don't like albums that are named after the song titles. I was quite adamant that I didn't want to do that. And I like more maybe a lyric from a song, but just nothing felt right to me. And I was thinking about those old school, like Dolly's first record is Hello, I'm Dolly or something like that. And I just thought it was kind of cute. And I think my name is a classically country music kind of sounding name. And I was toying with the idea of naming it Loretta. And I was ordering a coffee on the beach, and this woman overheard me saying my name, and she grabbed me and sort of said, "Your name is so beautiful, and it's just anyone with that name, I love them, and I have a very dear old friend whose name is Loretta," and she was on and on, and it was really sweet and strained. And then just before she walked away, she said, "You have a wonderful day and enjoy your name." And I was like, okay, that's a sign. I'm going to enjoy my name and put it on the front cover of a record. So that's the name of the album. When I'm thinking about how I came to make this record in the first place, I've been wanting to have my own record since I was a little girl, and always thought that I would. And then there's a lot of fear and a lot of unsureness about what it should be. And I think when you're like me and you've grown up with so many different influences and there's so much that you love, it's very hard to pick one thing. And people want you to like have a little place to fit into. And I don't know if I quite achieved it, but I did grow up initially singing a lot of country music, and I was my first gigs were with people like Peter Baylor and Andy Baylor and my mum's sort of little outfits, and playing at the Lomond and around town, the Rainbow Hotel, and sitting in and just getting up and singing a Patsy Cline song or a Hank Williams tune. And so it seemed like doing country Leaning Record was always, and my name obviously, was always something that I would do at some point in time. And then a few years back, my very dear friend Harry Angus, he was a member of a band called The Cat Empire. He's very well respected in the musical world as just a solid human being, but also a bit of a genius musician. He's just a dear friend, and he has always supported me, and he's been in and out of our band Jazz Party from when we've when it sort of first came to be. He was living in Melbourne and was a part of that. And since then, he's moved to a place called Main Arm, which is in just out of Mullumbimby, in the whole Byron area. We'd go up and visit him and hang out there, and he was sort of like, let's make some demos, come on. Like, he was really pushing me to get my shit together and make something and stop being afraid, I guess. So I'm lucky, and Darcy McNulty from Jazz Party also is incredibly supportive of me and always has been, and has always pushed me, and that's kind of how I ended up being in Jazz Party, because he believed in me and wanted me to be, like, trusted me to sort of take the reins with him of that band and sort of make it what we've made it. Making the record, it just kind of was like, okay, you have to do something, so let's do it. I just needed to be pushed, really. So I made the record with my little band, flew them up to Harry's place. We recorded everything. Well, the band did little live takes. I did some guide vocals, and then we brought it back home and I pieced it all together in Melbourne. So the first song that you will hear from that record is one that I wrote up there with Harry when I was sort of working on the demos. And I had a conversation with a very dear friend who's going through a lot of stuff, and I was quite worried about her. And it was I was walking on the beach and just chatting to her on the phone. And then after we got off the call, this song just kind of came into my head pretty fully formed. And then I went back to Harry's and we kind of fleshed it out and made a little demo. And that's how this one came to be. And this song is called Carry You.
These streets have never felt more strange to me. I'm on the road to our old home. Be anything else. nights when you're with me.
So track two on my debut record, Loretta, is titled Reason. And this was one of the first songs that I'd written. So there are a couple. I had maybe three or four songs before I went up to stay with my friend Harry, who kind of wanted me to write more and to develop this little thing into a record. So this one was one of the ones that I'd been, you know, tinkering around with on a little guitar at home and just feeling out. I think it was, you know, honestly, I can't remember, post-COVID or during, it's a time warp to my brain, so I can't say specifically when it was. But I think, you know, a lot of the songs on my record or the way that I write is quite personal and plain spoken. I think you don't need me to explain to you what the song is about if you listen to it. But codependence is definitely quite a big theme, and relationships that are struggling. But this one specifically was really feeling like you go back and forth with a partner or a person, and you fight and you're trying to figure out, you know, who's right and who's wrong. And then you think, well, it's more that things are bigger than right and wrong and da 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 da. But there are some things that come down to it being just like, hey, I'm doing the work and you are not doing the work. So this is where I'm leaving that one. So that is the song Reason, and that's what that one's all about. And that's track two from my debut record. We're going to talk about track number three from my new album, Loretta. Track three is called Bad Decisions, and I really love this one. This was predominantly written by Darcy McNulty. He is my musical collaborator and partner in Jazz Party that we run together, and we've written a lot and created a lot together for a long time, and I trust him wholeheartedly with anything music-related. I think he's truly a very underrated songwriter in this country, and I kind of don't get it, like, why nobody talks about him more, or, like, I mean, the people who know him do, the other musicians do, but, I would love to hear a little bit more praise for a local writer who's done some absolutely phenomenal stuff. This song, Bad Decisions, is so beautiful, and the sound of it, I think we kind of really were going for classic, like, Bob Dylan. It gives me, I think, the way we approached it, I'm feeling like the backing vocals that are on the track. I really wanted to sort of have a bit of the energy of that song, The Man in Me by Bob Dylan, which is one of my all-time favorites. And it's sort of like, it's a bit cynical, it's a bit sad musically. It sounds really pretty. I really enjoy playing this one live as well and singing it, and I think it's just really cool, and it can resonate with people in a lot of different ways. But basically, am I allowed to swear on this? Basically, like, talking about the fact that you're a bit of a fuck up, and, you know, maybe it'll always be that way. Maybe it's unavoidable. Like, this one was written during COVID as well, so dark times. But, yeah, we wrote it. Well, I'm going to say he wrote it, but we were working on it together in Archie's Creek, actually, which is where my folks live, and that's down the coast near, like, Kilcunda and Wontagi and Cape Patterson, all that area. And we were staying there for most of COVID, actually, which was a pretty nice place to be, but very isolated and lonely. And I don't know, kind of worked out. We wrote some cool songs. That's Bad Decisions. That's track three from the record.
Where do you go? Where you looking for no way? And you don't know. to leave. Good times, bad times, everywhere I go deep. Bad decisions keep looking for me. Can I find it when I can't stop looking, blowing up in front of me? Yeah, I got the answers, the questions I don't know deep. Bad decisions keep looking for me. Is this how the world made me? I did it again, and then you forgave me. I tried too hard and I drank too much. Well, I came here when no one else could take me. I was running out of luck. I'll love you forever, oh, but I can't forgive you. So pour one more out for me. And everyone sees only a few can know deep. Bad decisions keep looking for me.
So track number 4 from the record is titled Passenger Side. This one, again, I think this was also written during the dark COVID times. It was a little co-write, so a back and forth. And I actually really love doing this. Darcy and I kind of like recorded some pretty loose guitar music, I don't know, waffly on a little computer and sent it to our friends Ruby and Joel. So that's Ruby Jones, who was a Bang & Reket with me and Darcy, and her husband Joel Lukes. And Joel is in my band as well. So it's all a big family. So we sent some music to them. They sent some music back. We added some words. They added some words. Back and forth it goes. And then I kind of piece it all together. But so this one was a collaborative one between us. I would say that it ended up being more like Ruby, Joel and myself in terms of how the song came to be. But the lyrics are very much, again, like we really love pop music and we love country and we love country pop and all of that stuff. And this is, I feel like this is my cheesiest song on the record, if you will, which I don't mind. Like, I'm into a bit of cheesiness, a bit of like drama, and everything in the song did or was happening. It was an experience I was having, and it was things I was feeling and going through. So even though it can sound a bit like, oh, that's a bit of a trope, like talking about your car or whatever, your broken down car, da, 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 da. Well, it was just my story at the time. So I feel like okay about, I feel okay being cheesy if it's true, if that makes sense. And yeah, this song I think has really been the one that people initially, like when we play it live, it's the one that people really respond to. And I think that's maybe because we don't do a lot of like pop leaning stuff in Melbourne or Australia, because it maybe is a bit less cool. I don't know, but it's got that big kind of chorus, big catchy chorus that it's fun. People just really like it. And I love the pedal steel on it, which is Shane Riley, who's just amazing. And Louis King, who's my guitarist, is absolutely phenomenal. I don't know if you know Louis King out there, but he is a hard man to keep up with. He's currently touring with Dope Lemon and Grace Cummings. So he's wanted, he's very wanted and rightly so. But I hope after putting a record out, I can like get him a little bit more, have a reason to keep him here, get some more gigs, you know. But yeah, so that's Passenger Side and that's track 4. And that's the end of side 1 for the vinyl.
He's got a hard head and a hole in his heart. I got no words that can help him. I got a broken down car, won't jump start. It's not money, but it sure makes it hard. It's not love, but surely it's love. And I can't get through. And tell me, what can I do? My eyes on the exit, will he left without warning? Lord, I'm out of control. Well, I got tears in my eyes, I can't see the road. I'm scared, honey, that it's all gone too far. And now the joke's on me, and I just couldn't see. No, I can't admit that we're through. Now tell me, what can I do?
Hi, I'm Loretta Miller, and you're listening to And This One's Introduced By, where the artist introduces tracks from their album here on 3CR. So Long Hair Girl is track number 5 on the album. It is the first track from side 2, if you're listening on vinyl, and I think that's very important, track order. I absolutely labored over it, and it was one of the last things to... It was holding me up, basically. It was like, you've got this album, you've got the songs, everything's done, and it's all pretty much ready to go, but you need that order. And when you're thinking Spotify and streaming platforms and Tidal and whatever, the orders matter less because most people don't listen to albums in order when they're using streaming platforms. That's what I've come to know. And a lot of people are like, what are you bothering? Why do you care? Just don't worry about it. But I really do care. And I think if you're going to go to the effort of putting something on a CD or on vinyl, you want it to flow. You want things to feel right. And there's different ways to do that. So I basically was having a meltdown and I asked for a lot of advice and I didn't take a lot of advice. But I think I really needed people to give me ideas or give me their opinions so that I could listen and then break it down and then go, okay, maybe, but not quite. And I just couldn't do it by myself entirely, but I then needed to make the call in the end. So some people would sort of say it should lyrically kind of have its arc, but I feel like it's more important to me. That's great if that works, but it's more important to me if it sonically feels right, like the energy, the musical energy or the tempos or the, you know, whatever you're hearing feels right in order, coming one after the other, having... So that's kind of how I approach it. Anyway, I'm talking about the song, Long Haired Girl. Again, we had watched this great documentary that was in the Melbourne International Film Festival about Karen Dalton, who I'm a big fan of. I've always loved her voice and her sound and everything. And yeah, this song kind of just was a little bit inspired by her. It's a bit sad. It's a bit... mysterious and has like a real mountain hippie energy or something. I've got a friend who lives in America and she said she's been driving around listening to it and she feels like it was written there and like it resonates with the landscape. And so that's really nice to hear that. So that is Long Haired Girl, the opening of side 2.
Long-haired girl, don't need the sea. She got a valley for her tears and a river for her dreams. She don't need no smooth.
Okay, so track number 6 from my brand new record titled Loretta is called Gonna Be Lonely. This is one of the first ones that I wrote for the album. I wrote it on piano and it had a real kind of very specific energy to it. And I had tried to record it a couple of times before the record was a thing or imagined. I'd sort of made a demo here, a demo there, and it wasn't quite sitting right. I wasn't super happy with it. So this is one of the ones that I took up to Harry Angus's place and he kind of helped me make it a whole song and make it feel right. And yeah, this one is about that kind of experience of telling yourself, you know, you're kind of starting off feeling crap and then you're growing, the person is growing throughout the song and coming to a place of strength that by the end of the song, it's like acceptance of what you have to do and what the reality will be. And this one, I think it was this one. I really love Willie Nelson's Shotgun Willie record and that kind of country but rockin' energy. And I feel like I was probably taking a lot of influence from that at the time of putting the song together. So that's gonna be lonely.
He's mean to me, and it makes me cry. Twisting little things I say makes me play his games, but I don't wanna play. No, no, no. Ooh, I just want him. Mama, I love him. Mama, I need him. Can't you help me out? Can't you help me out somehow? I feel I'm all touched.
So track number 7 on the record is titled Dog. This song is probably the most me song and the most mine out of everything. I love to be collaborative and I love to write with others, and I like ideas coming from elsewhere and sharing and, you know, the experience of doing those things so, so much. It's a very joyful thing for me when you can either have someone add something to something that's yours that makes it better, or you can do that for somebody else. So I do love to work that way. But every now and then you have a moment where you're very certain that a song or whatever it is that you're making needs to be one way and it's your way and that's how it's going to be. And so Dog was kind of like that. It came very fast and I was feeling pretty crap at the time of writing it. But when we recorded it, we just did it as a band at Harry's again. And I've got some great videos of Louis King putting the solos down and trying. So we'd done the bed take and the, you know, just the rhythm and everything. And then we were going for the solos and we experimented with a few different things to try to get the right one. But it's just that classic moment of when you hear it and you're like, that's the one. That is the one it needs to be. And then I'd done a guide vocal in that session. And then there was maybe like one or two things that I didn't like, but there were some very specific things that happened in the guide that when I had to re-record, I was like, oh God, now I've got to try and match that exact performance, because I really, really liked the certain things that I had done. So it was kind of tricky to make sure that it had. I think we couldn't use the guide vocal because maybe there was some bleed or some, I don't know, something wrong with it. otherwise, I would have just used it. I've got no problem with using guides if they're good. I was just very certain about this song, and I don't know how people felt about it. It was the first single I put out from the record, and I don't think people were expecting it from me. It's very kind of heavy and intense, and I think I'm a pretty dramatic girl, so I'm very happy with how it turned out. So that's Dog from Loretta.
I'm your dog. I am at your feet, bite the hands that try to harm you, and I howl. You are the moon. You are always changing shape. You will light up the darkness and you're gone behind some cloud. And I hail. I'm your old dog.
Yeah.
Track number 8, Spooky Action. Now, this song is by far the cutest song on the record. This was written for me by Ruby Jones and Joel Lukes. It is definitely drawing on our time. So Ruby and I toured together with Clary Brown and the Bangin' Rackets. We were in the States a lot. We've done our time. We've done the tour bus or van, if you will. We were not fancy enough to be in a bus. We've done the falling in love on tour. We've done the drama, all of those things. And Ruby's a beautiful writer and a great lyricist. And yeah, she, I think she was drawing on a lot of the memories of me on tour. And then she brought this to me, and it's very cute and fun. And it was an interesting choice to put it after Dog, but I actually really like that it sits there and sort of brings some lightness back after such a kind of heavy moment.
Tripping down the hill on magic mushrooms, and I can't talk my way out of this one. And the next time that I saw you standing on the sidewalk spilling out my guts, I don't wanna just be friends. No, I'm your fool.
Track number 9, it's the final track on the album. It's titled Blue. I think I remember being, well, there's a few different things that kind of came into place for this song. I was spending a lot of time in Archie's Creek, the pub which is run by Peter Foley, who was running a venue in town earlier called the Caravan Music Club that puts on lots of great shows. He's a family friend of mine. I know him very well. And so I worked at all of his venues, and I worked the bar, and it has a very beautiful bar there, like, you know, the wooden bar top. And I served a lot of locals when he first took over that space. There were a lot of, like, you know, farmers and old school blokes drinking their beers at knockoff and all of that kind of stuff. So I definitely was kind of feeling the imagery of that space in the song. And there's a disco ball, and there's a beautiful little stage in the corner, and red curtains. Peter Foley always has lovely red curtains in his venues. So it was a great image in my mind. But I had also seen another film from the film festival, and that inspired me to write the lyrics of this song. And it was called Bloody Noses, Empty Pockets, or maybe the flip of that, Empty Pockets, Bloody Noses. I can't quite remember. And it's a really kind of fun faux documentary, like about the last 24 hours of a bar that's closing down and all of the characters that kind of exist in this bar. And it's a kind of down and out, very down and out kind of energy. And it was just so well done. And it's crazy that it's not real. And apparently it was filmed in New Orleans, which is interesting. And I, you know, I've been to Vegas and I've been to New Orleans and I've experienced those places like that. And so, yeah, just lots of that feeling of hopelessness and down and out and all of that, but also romanticizing it a bit because there is something kind of, I don't know, in me that's drawn to those spaces and, you know, the barflies with their stories and the beauty that comes out of that. My friend Joel, Joel Lukes, who's my bass player in the band, he wrote the music first. So he actually wrote this music and sent it to me. And then I sat with the music and thought about it. And, you know, that's where the lyrics came from. And I was very sure that this needed to be the last track on the record. It has a really pretty outro with some strings. And I just felt like it was a nice one to like ride out into the distance with and say goodbye. So that's Blue. That's the final track of my new record titled Loretta. I hope you enjoyed the album and I hope you liked listening to the stories. And thank you so much for having me.
Where would I go?
This is Loretta Miller. You've been with me and Dr. Gonzo on And This One's Introduced By on 3CR. Thank you for listening. You can find my debut album, Loretta, on Bandcamp currently and all the good streaming platforms. But Bandcamp is the one. Come and say hi and purchase a download or a copy of the vinyl. And if you are hearing this before the show is October the 24th. That's my debut record launch, and I'd love to see you there. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to an episode of And This One's Introduced By. I'm Dr. Gonzo, and I'll be presenting another artist with another album next time on This One's Introduced By. Catch you next time.
Hi, I'm Loretta Miller. Please support Community Radio 3CR. Get involved and find out more on the website at 3cr.org.au.
Another great episode of And This One's Introduced By, with a cool collection of country-influenced tunes by the incomparable Loretta Miller. Thank you, Loretta. Loretta contributed to a very interesting compilation put together by Melbourne poet Ian Bland during the COVID lockdown, called Melbourne in 60 Seconds, featuring 60 of some of the best musicians that Melbourne has to offer, who composed and recorded a 60-second tune relating to Melbourne. Here are half a dozen, starting off with Loretta Miller and Darcy McNulty, followed by David Bridey, Barb Waters, Ed Bates, Van Walker, Fenn Wilson, Mark Ferry and Kerry Simpson. Check out the complete album on Bandcamp, where all the profits from the sales of the CD and download will be donated to Support ACT, who are the music industry's charity, providing crisis relief, mental health and well-being support to musicians, managers, crew, music workers and organisations across all genres of music. Again, that Bandcamp page is at Melbourne in 60 Seconds. Thanks for listening. Hope you join Dr. Gonzo next time on And This One's Introduced By, here on 3CR.
Dust off the tram tracks, the rush to get home, the traffic's backed up to the toll freeway zone. Nobody's crossing the north-south divide. The football is over, the drunk crowd's on fire, the wild seagulls swirl round the lights in the spire. Rough sleepers are said to be staging for freeze. It's the best place, but that's a low bar. When you get what you want, you don't want it no more. Home's where they have to let you in the front door. When you look up, there's more city lights and there's stars. It's the best town. But that's a low bar. When Merri Creek floods, it makes a loud swirling sound. It leaves rubbish at the tree line when the rain falls down. Smug design houses, bushfire skies, artisans, jokers and bands in the bars. Lawns and accessories and two family cars. It's the best place, but that's a low bar. It's the best place, I wouldn't move far. It's the best place, but that's a low bar.
As he hitches a trailer to the family car, mother stands by and watches. I head beyond the evening star. Mary dreams get made. I guess she's living for the meantime.
Of the pavement and the payphone, I met you under city lights. Rain seemed to throw sparks around you. Went to see music and dance, my love. Sat close and ate when we'd had enough. I love you and lose you while we belong to city lights. Melbourne. Victoria. Australia. The Southern Hemisphere. Planet Earth. The Solar System. Milky Way. The Universe.